Reishis Masechta Menachas Daf Lamed Aleph, and we will begin on Daf Lamed Amud Beis, the bottom line, El Amar HaPapa. At the end of the previous year, the Gemara was looking that Rav Chanina had said that the Halacha follows Rav Shimon Shizuri, and the Gemara was trying to identify what was the area of Halacha that Rav Chanina was referring to. El Amar HaPapa. Rav Papa says it's referring to Sheda, to the case of a carriage. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Omer, a Yayin, referring to the case of the wine. And the Gemara explains itself. Rav Papa says it's referring to the case of a Sheda, the case of the carriage. And a word of introduction is required. We know that not everything is Mekabel Tumah. And one of the things that we've discussed that is Mekabel Tumah are Kli Eitz, vessels made out of wood. However, we have learned that Kli Eitz is Mekabel Tumah. It's only Mekabel Tumah if it's made out of wood, if it's similar to a sack. Because since the Torah, when it teaches us the halacha of Kli Eitz being Mekabel Tumah, becoming susceptible to Tumah, compares that to a sack. So the halacha is, it has to have the characteristics of a sack. Now, the characteristic of a sack is that a sack is metalto moli vereikun. A sack could be transported both when it's full and when it's empty. And therefore the halacha is that when a kliates is too big. And the definition of too big is, as we'll see in the Gemara, that it holds 40 saw of liquid. Something which holds 40 saw of liquid will hold 60 saw of solid, because the fact is that something that holds 50% more solid than liquid, because by a solid you could have some of the material come out of the actual container and not spill over. You can't have that by liquid, and therefore something holds 50% more solid than liquid, which means 60 saw versus 40 saw. There's a machlokes, we're showing him how to understand this halakha. The Rambam's opinion is that if something holds 40 saw of liquid, it falls into the category of a keli ha'osu l'nachas. It's a keli that's meant to be stationary. And the halacha is that anything that's meant to be stationary is not mekabel tumah. That's how the Rambam learns. It seems that it is the opinion of the Ravid that it's not automatic, that just because it holds this amount, it becomes a keli ha'osu l'nachas. Rather, the way it seems that the Ravid learns is that you have to have both characteristics. It has to hold 40 saw, and it also has to be a keli osi l'nachas, that it doesn't move. So let's say it holds that much, but it somehow moved anyway, then the Ravid's opinion, it seems, will be that it's not, that it still will be recovered from it. But as far as our Gemara is concerned, we're learning that if it holds 40 saw, it's considered, it's not Mekabel Tumah. The Tanan, as the Mishnah says in Masechta Kelim, Hasheda, when you have this box, how do you measure if it holds that amount? You measure it from the inside. Beisila's opinion is that you measure it from the chutz, from the outside. And Moidim Oidim Ve'elu, everybody agrees, She'ein Oiva Haraglayim, the legs, Vlozim are the lips on top of the keli. Nimdad, they're not included in the measuring. Interesting to point out that the Shittim Kubetza says that how do you do the actual measuring. So the Shittim says the way the measuring is done is by displacement. You put this into a keli and you'll see how much water is displaced, and by seeing how much water is displaced, you'll know if it holds 40 saw. Furthermore, Tysus asks, we've learned that a keli which is used for medrash, a keli that's used for somebody to sit on, has a very high level of tumah. And therefore, as Tosfos and the Rishonim, certainly this container is used to sit on. So why doesn't it have a tumas medrash? So I saw no less than three answers to this question. One answer is that we're referring to a situation where the keli is not used for transportation. It doesn't have, that's not the purpose, and therefore it doesn't have tumas medrash. Another shot that I saw that the Rishonim suggest, that the halachas of tumas medrash travel together with the halacha that we've been discussing regarding that if the keli is too big, it's not makabel tumah. And those Rishonim suggest that when you have a keli that's this large, it's not susceptible to tumas medrash under any circumstances. Another pshat is that since this keli, it's like a carriage, it's meant to transport people from one place to another, suggests the Mefarshim that suggests the Rishonim that if something is used with the purpose of transportation, then the halacha is that it's not mekabel tumas medrash if it's made for transportation. So our Gemara said that when we come to measure the machlokes b'sham b'beis Hillel, do we only include the inside or do we also include the outside? And I saw a beautiful verse from the Chazon Ish. If we think about it, says the Chazon Ish, the opinion of Beis Shammai is very understandable. Because as we began the shiur, what we're discussing here is, we're trying to understand, how much does it hold? So if we're discussing how much it holds, we should certainly be only measuring it and only be looking at it from the inside. Why are we looking at it from the outside? Says the Chazon Ish, that from here we see that when we talk about shiurim, shiurim are halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. And when we speak about shiurim, they don't have to necessarily make sense. These are the rules, these are the shiurim, even if they don't work logically. Rabbi Yossi, however, has a different opinion. He says, Maidim, in the way the Rishonim explain, Rabbi Yossi, unlike the Tanakhama, does not hold that there's a machloikas here, Beisham, Beisahu. Rather, everybody is in agreement. The moedim, everybody agrees. The legs and the lips, the rim, nimdat are included in coming to the shear of Abom Sa. And again, here the vart of the Chazon Ish is very gishmak, because we see that according to this, certainly these should not be included. They're not part of the keli itself. If the legs are a tefach high, ain't been named them that, then the area of the legs themselves are measured, but the area between the legs are not included. Vimlav, if these legs are not a tefach high, they named them that, then even the area in between the legs are measured to get to the shiv abon saw. And that, it says the Gemara, is what Rav Chanina meant when he said the halach is like of Shimon Shazuri. He says regarding what did we learn the halachas like Rav Shimon ben Shazuri, it's referring to the yayin, it's referring to wine. A word of introduction. In many of our shiurim, we've spoken about Kabbalah's tumah, and when we speak about something being Kabbalah's tumah, we always understand it that it works in sort of a progression. The progression meaning that you start with something that's an avatoma, and something that's an avatoma by coming in contact makes the next thing a rishonal toma, and so on and so on. It goes further and further, a rishonal toma, a sheni toma, and it continues on. So there is, however, as we will now see in our Gemara, an exception to that rule. The exception to that rule is liquids. Liquids, even though, as we just said, if something were to touch a rishon l'tumah, it should become a sheni l'tumah. And if something touches a sheni l'tumah, it ought to become a shlishi l'tumah. By liquids, the halacha is that liquids always become a rishon l'tumah. And the reason why Chazal, the Mefar, made such a rule is because, as we've also learned, food do not is not mekabel tumah so easily, because we know the halach is the food is only mekabel tumah if it's mukhshur mekabel tumah. Mukhshur mekabel tumah means that it became susceptible to kabbalah tumah by being exposed to liquid. Liquid don't have that halacha that they have to become mukhshur mekabel tumah, and therefore liquids, Chazal made a rule, are always mekabel tumah, always going to become a rishon tumah. Says the Gemara, the Tana, the Mishnah says, Rav Meir Omer, Shem Tchilo Oilam. Oil is considered such a liquid that it always becomes a rishon tumah. The Chum Omer, the Chum hold, Afad Vash, that honey always becomes a rishon tumah. Rav Shimon Shizuri's opinion is, Af Hayayin, that wine always becomes a rishon tumah. Ask the Gemara, Mechlal, does that mean that Tanakama that disagrees with Shimon Shizuri, Sav Yayin Loi? If anything, wine should be considered more of a liquid than honey and oil. And if the Tanakama holds that honey or wine can become are considered liquid, honey or oil are considered liquids, that they become rishon tumah. Certainly so should be the halacha by wine. So Ema, therefore the Gemara says, Rav Shimon Shizuri Ema Yayin. What Rav Shimon Shizuri is saying is, only wine is considered a liquid, that the halacha will be that wine is mekabel tumah, that's always going to be a rishon tumah. Rav Shimon Shizuri, however, will say that so is not the halacha regarding oil and honey. He will hold that this special chumrah will not apply by oil and honey. This is the way Rashi explains the Gemara. So according to Rashi, the Gemara is speaking about the rule about what is considered a liquid and what is not considered a liquid. However, there are many Rishonim that take issue with Rashi's pshat because they find it difficult. We know in all areas of halacha, all of these wine, oil, honey are all considered liquid. So they find it difficult to differentiate between. And therefore many Rishonim are of the opinion that Al Gemara is not speaking about a regular situation of liquid. Rather, Al Gemara is referring to congealed liquid. And actually, in that itself, there's different opinions in the Rishonim what is meant when we speak about congealed liquid. There are some that explain that indeed the Gemara is teaching us that we're referring to a congealed liquid. And Rav Shimon Shizuri is saying that only wine, even when it's congealed, is considered a liquid, not the others. Tanakama include honey, congealed honey, or congealed oil. Other Rishonim disagree, and they say that when it's congealed, it's certainly not mekabel tumah. We can't consider a congealed liquid something as a liquid. And therefore the Rambam learns pshat that if it became tumah when it was still a liquid and then it congealed, the tumah remains. That's how the Rambam learns. The Rash learns different. He says that a congealed liquid is not mekabel tumah, and even if it was mekabel tumah when it was congealed, if it becomes tumah when it was a liquid, if it becomes congealed, it loses the tumah. What Al Gemara is referring to is that, let's say it was mekabel tumah when it was a liquid, it gained congealed, it loses that status, and then it becomes a liquid again. Al Gemara is teaching us that it reverts back to its original status and will be mekabel tumah. This issue about a congealed liquid actually is the discussion of an interesting shaila, because the Paiskim discuss the question, what is the halacha regarding using congealed oil to light the Chanukah menorah? Is that considered that you fulfilled the mitzvah of lighting the menorah with oil. And actually, I saw that Rav Volzner and the Shaila of Tshuva Shevet Halevi actually discusses this issue. And his opinion is that although in the Beis HaMikdash it would not have been acceptable to use congealed oil, certainly to fulfill the mitzvah of menorah of the Hanukkah, one can use congealed liquid, congealed oil. That is the opinion of Rav Volzner. In fact, I even saw that there's a marsham in the Das Torah that suggests that it could well be that the oil that the Chashmonoim used by the Hanukkah Nes was congealed oil. Rav Moshe Sternbruch, however, disagrees. Rav Moshe Sternbruch says that one should chatchila use liquid, not congealed oil, but purely liquid oil for the lighting of the menorah. Tanya begins the Gemara we learned in a Braisa. And Rashi, in this Gemara, actually quotes two pshatim, how to learn the Gemara. We will quote, as Rashi does, both pshatim. But Rashi himself prefers the second pshat that he quotes. That's the pshat that most mefarshim use. And that's the pshat that we will work with in learning the Gemara. So first we'll quote the first pshat. The first pshat is that what happened in the Gemara was that some demai, we know, as we will be learning now, that the halacha is that if one buys produce from Amaoritz, he has to take off Trumas and Maisris. And what happened here was that the Mai got mixed into Chulim. But as I said, the Pshat that Rashi prefers, and the Pshat that's used by both most Mepharshim, is that what happened here was actually that Tevel, produce from which they did not remove, produce from which Trumas and Maisris were not removed, fell into Chulim. And as we come clear in the Gemara, Midaraisa, it's bottle. When you have that type of mixture, it's bottle. Chazal, however, said it should not become bottle. And I saw two reasons why Chazal were marked with the Tevel doesn't become bottle. One reason is that we know Midaraisa, Chita Achas Pateres Sakri. Taking just one kernel is Midaraisa adequate to be considered that's no longer tevel. So explain the Rishonim, ki hisuroi kach ki ateroi kach hisuroi. Just like taking one kernel is enough to make it mutter, so too, even if one kernel of tevel falls into the roiv of chulin, which certainly with the raisa it ought to be bottle, the halach is that it will not become bottle. That's one approach in Rishonim. Another approach in Rishonim is that since Tevel is a Dovah Shesh Lematirin, a Dovah Shesh Lematirin means that ultimately it can become Mutter because we could just take off Trumas and Maestris, the Aloch is that anything that's a Dovah Shesh Lematirin doesn't become bottle. So what happened here, says the Gemara, Amar Shimon Shizuri, Tam Achas Nis'arabli Tevel B'chulun, one time Tevel got mixed together with Chulin. Or Basi Vishalti from Tarfon, and I came and asked for Tarfon a question. How could I fix this new mixture? Vamali. So what he told me was, Vamali Leich Kach Lecham Neshuk Baser Alav. As we said a moment ago, Chazalav told us that whenever we buy produce, unless we buy produce from a chaver being a person that we know is scrupulous in taking off Trumas and Maestris as the halacha requires, we have to take off the Mai. We have to take off our own Trumas and Maestris because we have to be concerned, the concern of the Mai. So, we know the halacha is as follows. The halacha is you can't take off Mina Ptor al Achiv or Mina Achiv al Ptor. That if you have two piles of produce, one pile there's a Achiv to take off Trumas and Maestris from, and one pile there is no chiv, you can't take from one pile on the other. However, as the Gemara is explaining, the chiv here to take off from this mixture where some tevel got mixed into the roiv of mice, a roiv of chulin, is a chiv de rabbanan. But the raisa there is no chiv. The chiv of taking off trumas and maisris from the mai is also the rabbanan. So both equal categories. Since they're both equal categories, you could take off one from the other. The Rishonim and Achronim make a number of very important points. One point they ask is, isn't Rav Shimon Shazuri the man the Amma throughout Shas that holds Yesh Bila? Yesh Bila suggests that items could be properly mixed. So why, when we have this mixture, do they ask, do we have to go through the bother of finding another pile? Why don't we just take from the pile itself and assume that it's proportionate in the pile? So I saw a number of answers to this question. One answer that I saw to the question is that this halacha that he considers yesh bila, he doesn't say in all situations. Baruch Tam says this teretz, this would be a situation where yesh bila wouldn't be applicable. Another teretz is that if we're going to hold yesh bila, we're going to have to be concerned is that perhaps they will take, since we don't know exactly how much is the proper proportion, what proportion it got mixed up, we're going to have to take not only from the tevel portion of this mixture, but we're going to have to take from the chulin portion, which would actually involve a loss. That's why he wanted to take from something else entirely, and he told him, buy the my pros. Furthermore, the Rishonim point out that even though, as we're about to learn, and we know that the halacha of the mai tells us that we need to be concerned that the Amoritz did not take off Trumas and Maestris, Truma the Daila, we don't have that concern with. And there are two reasons why we don't have that concern with Truma the Daila. Number one, because as we said a moment ago, by Truma the Daila, the halacha is Chita Achas Keteris HaSakri. You only have to take one Chita. So an Amoritz doesn't have a problem taking off just one kernel. Furthermore, there's a chiv misa involved with truma, and the Amoratzim are concerned about that chiv misa, and that's why they take off truma. So we have to say, explain the Rishonim, that the tevel that's being discussed here was also a tevel from which truma gedayla was removed, and therefore the Gemara explains itself. Kesavar, Rav Tarfon is obviously of the opinion the deraisa, when tevel falls into chulin, it's beruba bottle. So there is no chiv deraisa to take off trumas and maisas here. It's only drabonim. Similarly, Rav Tarfon is of the opinion the roiv ami oritz maasun hay, and therefore the chiv to take trumas and maisas from the mai is also only a chiv drabonim. And therefore, both of them are potim with deraisa, chayim with drabonim, and therefore you could take Truma from one to the other, because it's Ketorim Mnaptor ala Ptor. They both are equal category. Points out Rabbi Yosef Engel and the Sefer Aspen Deraisa. From here we see that the obligation to take Truma Meister from the Mai is not an obligation based on a specific concern. Chazal were concerned that this Amoritz that you purchased from did not take Trumas and Maestris. Because if that were the pshat of Chazal, then we wouldn't have no reason to take off, we would have to be concerned that maybe the Amoritz from whom we purchased was an Amoritz that did take off Trumas and Maestris. And therefore we're going to be taking off from something that doesn't even have a Chiv Drabonim, from something that does have a Chiv Drabonim. Rather, explains Rabbi Yosef Engel, the way to understand the Gezeira Chazal of taking the Mai is that once Chazal said that you have to take Trumas and Maestris off from anything you purchase from Amoritz, it makes no difference how much of a concern there is regarding the Amoritz. There is a new obligation. There's a chiv to Rabbanan to take off Trumas and Maestris under all situations, albeit a chiv to Rabbanan. And the chiv, when it got mixed up, is also chiv drabonim, and therefore they're in equal status, and you can take from one for the next. Ask the Gemara, but why did he give him this suggestion? V'lemele, why didn't he tell him, Lech kach menad gechavim, purchase produce from an Akum, and there too the Chiev is a Drabonim, to which he responds, Kesavar, because he is of the opinion that Ein kinyan lev gechavim by Eretz Yisrael of Gimel Ad Meisav, even properties owned in Eretz Yisrael by Akum have a Chiev, the Raisa, of taking Trumas and Maisris, v'havelei men a Chiev al Ptor. So therefore, there's a chiv deraisa on that produce, and you can't take from something that has a chiv deraisa for onto something which only has a chiv derabon. The basis of this opinion is because the pasuk says, "For Eretz lo simachal tzmisus kili kol Eretz." All of Eretz Yisrael is considered Hashem's; it can't become the property of an akum to be part of trumas and maisers. Another pshat that I saw the Rishonim suggest, the Yushami suggest, why this opinion holds that the property of Akum is still chayiv in Trumas and Maisris midoraisa, because we know that in Halacha property is compared to Avodim, and just like the Halacha by Avodim is that an Akum can become an Eved but you can't sell an Eved to an Akum, so too the property of Eretz Yisrael, the land of Eretz Yisrael, can never become the full-fledged property of an Akum. But now Tosfos and other Rishonim ask a very fundamental question. Yes, our Gemara is following the opinion that the property of Eretz Yisrael can never become a Goyis to be part of a Trumas and Maisris. However, they ask that we know that the Halacha is that even when a Jew owns produce, his Chiv to take Trumas and Maisris only begins, his chiv only begins by miruach, if the final finishing touches of preparing the produce were done properly. And certainly, miruach akum, if the final touches of the preparation were done by an akum, there would be no chiv to take trumas and maisris. So even if these produce grew on the property of an akum, and we're saying that that isn't a reason for exemption, but why doesn't the Gemara say that the Goy did the Miruach? And if the Goy did the Miruach, there is no Chiv to take Trumas and Maisris midaraisa. So Tosfos, as explained by the Turi Evan, says a Gevaldige Chiddush. Absolutely, the Halacha is that if the Akum were to do the Miruach, there would be no Chiv deraisa of taking Trumas and Maisris. It would be only the Rabbon. And therefore, we're dealing again here with a situation of two derabonans. A derabonon of miruach akum, and a derabonon of tevel that got mixed up with roif chulin. Explains the Tori Evid. Although both of these situations are derabonans, they're not equal type of derabonans. This is a derabonon. Derabonon with tevel falling into chulin is a derabonon of complete ptor. The other is only sort of speak a technicality, that the Akum did the Miruach. And since this Rabbanan is closer to a Deraisa than that Rabbanan, we can't compare the two situations, and the Halacha will be that it will not be an acceptable way, even though they're both Rabbanan. Ikadamri, but there's a different version of this Braisa. Amalei Lei, to name an Akum, go buy from the Akum. He's indeed of the opinion, Yesh kinyan lev gecham b'Eretz Yisrael of gimel yad meiser, that property owned by an akum, there is no chiv trumas and maisers, and therefore the chiv to take trumas and maisers under such situations owned rabbanon, and therefore will be a situation v'avolei min haptor al haptor. Ask the Gemara, why did he give him this suggestion? Why not lemalei kach min hashuk? Why didn't he tell him just go buy it from the market, buy from amaratzim, and it'll be again a situation of haptor al haptor? Answers the Gemara Kesavar, because he's of the opinion, we can't rely that the Amoratzim take off Meisr. And since we can't rely that the Amoratzim take off Meisr, there's the Chiv of taking off Trumas and Meisrs from produce bought from Amoratzim is a Chiv, perhaps a Chiv deraisa. Whereas the Chiv of taking off from the mixture is only a Chiv derabonan, and therefore it'll be a situation when a Ptor Al-Khiv. Shalach Lei Rav Yemir Bashamil Rapapa. Hada Amar Rabban Bar Chinana, Ula Amar Rab Chanina. This that we've been learning, that the halacha is like Rav Shimon Shazuri. And furthermore, we've been saying that Kamakam Shasham Rav Shimon Shazuri halacha kamaisai, that we always follow the opinion of Rav Shimon Shazuri. Ach Nisavet Tev Bechulim, is that also regarding the case that we are now discussing, the case where Tevel and Chulin got mixed together? Amalei in. So he said, yes, it even refers to this case. So as the Karen Oyer explained to the Gemara, we've been learning in our Gemara that there are actually two versions of what occurred, of what his suggestion was. One version was that the suggestion was regarding to buy from the Mai, to take from the Mai. The other suggestion was to take from produce of an Akum. Says the Karen Oyer, only according to the opinion that we're saying buy from an Akum, must we say that the Gemara is teaching us that the halacha is like Rav Shimon Shazuri. Because then that actually represents a chiddush, that we should paskin, how we paskin regarding the produce owned by an Akum. However, according to the opinion that we're learning that you should take from the Mai, that doesn't represent any chiddush. And because it doesn't represent any chiddush, there is no reason for the Gemara to say that there's a chiddush that we're following the opinion of Rav Shimon Shazuri. Amar Sheish, Amar Ashi, asked the Gemara, Amalei Mazutra, Kashver Rav Chanina Masura. Rav Chanina Masura had a difficulty with this. Pshita. Obviously, Rav Chanina said that we always follow the opinion of Rav Shimon Shazuri. Mikamar, the Mishnah Sangu. Did he ever indicate that he's limiting, that we follow his opinion only in the Mishnah? Kamakum Shoshana Kamar. He says we always follow his opinion. It makes no difference if it's a Mishnah or a Braisa. We always follow, says Rav Chanina, Rav Shimon Shazuri's opinion. Our Gemara goes back to teaching us halachas regarding a Sefer Torah. Amar Rav Zeira, Amar Rav Chanina, Amar Rav. Kra Habob Eshnei Shitim. If there's a tear in the Sefer Torah that goes down the length of two lines. So as the Rishonim point out, the Rosh says that if the tear goes through a letter, then that's not something we're discussing. It certainly cannot be repaired. The Rambam says that the Gemara we're referring to is only if the tear goes through the words. If it goes between words, the Rambam has a very lenient opinion, then it's always repairable. The Torah doesn't agree with the Rambam. According to him, it doesn't make a difference if it goes between words or in the word. The din that the Gemara is going to teach us, that's the difference between a two-line tear or a three-line tear, it's always applicable. The Bach has another kula. He says that if the tear, that the concern of our Gemara is only if the tear begins on the top or on the bottom of the page. But if the tear is in the middle of the page, he says that that isn't the concern of the Gemara, and it certainly could be fixed. So says the Gemara, Amrav Zera, Amrav Chanana, Amrav. Kra Habob B'Shnei Shitin. If there's a tear that goes two lines deep into the writing, yitbar, one could fix it. B'shalosh, if it's three lines deep, al yitfar, it should not be repaired. Why is there a difference between two lines and three lines? It says, so two pshatim. One pshat is, because the entire concern here is, because zeh keli vaveyu, this null of fun of a mitzvah, we have to have the mitzvah done in a beautiful way. And if there's such a deep tear on the Sefer Torah, it isn't a Sefer Torah null. It isn't considered a beautiful Sefer Torah. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat that I saw, however, is that we've learned that typically in a Sefer Torah there are 30 words per line. So since there are 30 words per line, and we know that the smallest parasha of a Sefer Torah is considered a parasha with 85 letters, So when you'll have three lines, you have the space of a Parshat Kana, you have the space of 85, you have the place for 85 letters. Another point is that our Gemara is teaching us that if it's only two lines, it's repairable. Machloikas Bach and Taz. What does that mean? The Bach says, yes, if it's two lines deep, it's repairable. But to be able to read from the Sefer Torah, says the Bach, you first have to repair those two lines, otherwise you may not read from the Sefer Torah. Taz disagrees. And the Taz says, of course, L'chatchila, you should repair the Sefer Torah. But the Taz says that if it's only a two-line tear, the halacha would be that you could read, and you didn't repair it, you could still read from the Sefer Torah. There's also Machlokes Rishonim. What are we referring to? What would be the halacha if somebody could glue the tear together? What would be the din then? The Maram Rattenberg says that gluing is not an option. The Rosh takes the opposite view. He says that Al Gemara is referring to fixing it through sewing, as we'll see in the Gemara soon. But, says the Rosh, if it could be fixed through gluing, that's always acceptable. The Rivash says that gluing and sewing travel together. And wherever sewing is acceptable, gluing is acceptable. And wherever sewing is not acceptable, neither will gluing be acceptable. So says the Gemara. Amrav Zera, Amrav Kanan, Amrav. Krab of Shnei Shitin. If the tear goes two lines deep, Yitvar, it should be sewn together. V'sholosh, but if it's three lines deep, Al Yitvar. Amrav Zutra Lavashi. Hoch Amrav Yirin Medifta Mishmei Derova. Hodam Rinan, this that we've learned, V'sholosh Al Yitvar, that if it's three lines deep, it shouldn't be fixed. Loyam Morin, Elabat Tikta. It only refers to an old Sefer Torah. Avachadata, by a new one, less lumbar. And as a machoikus rishonim, what's the difference between an old Sefer Torah and a new Sefer Torah? Rashi seems to learn that by an old Sefer Torah, given that an old Sefer Torah is dark, so it's not so nice anyway, so if it's going to have a tear, certainly it creates a situation that the Sefer Torah is not nice, and therefore it should not be repaired. A new Sefer Torah is anyway beautiful, and therefore we need not to be concerned. That's how Rashi learns. Other Rishonim learn differently. Other Rishonim say the difference between a new Sefer Torah and an old Sefer Torah is by a new Sefer Torah, even if it has a tear, we don't have that much of a concern that the tear will continue. It's going to continue ripping. By an old Sefer Torah, we need to be concerned about that, and therefore it has to be repaired. Actually, there's another Machlokes HaPaiskim. Al Gemara is differentiating between a new Sefer Torah and an old Sefer Torah. So the Paiskim discuss when we speak about a new Sefer Torah that the Gemara is more lenient by a new Sefer Torah versus an old Sefer Torah. What does that mean? Does that mean that by a new Sefer Torah we don't care how deep the tear is? Or does it mean that by an old Sefer Torah, once the tear is three lines deep, it can't be repaired? By a new Sefer Torah, it could be three lines deep, but once it's four lines deep, even a new Sefer Torah should not be repaired with such a rip. Says the Gemara, V'loy atika tikta mamish. When we speak old, it doesn't mean really old. V'loy chadata, when we speak about new, it doesn't mean chadata mamish, really new. El hada fitzin hada loy fitzin. If it was treated with gurna juice, and has one status, and if not, it's treated differently. And here too, we have the Machlokes Rashi and the other Rishonim, how to learn the Gemara. Rashi explains that a Sefer Torah that's treated with golden juice has a darker look, and therefore a tear is more visible, and therefore more unseemly, and therefore an issue. One that's not treated with this golden juice doesn't have that look, and therefore we don't have to be so concerned. That's how Rashi learned. Other Rishonim learn just the opposite. That if it's treated with afitzin, there isn't that much of a concern that the tear will continue, and therefore we could be lenient. If it's not treated with gulna juice, with offits, we have to be concerned that the tear will continue, and we have to be more stringent. Furthermore, says the Gemara, the Hanimili, where are we lenient? the Gidin. Only when we're allowed to fix it, we're only allowed to fix it with Gidin. Al Begadin, to use regular thread, loy, we may not use it. And here too, there's a big machlokes of Paiskim, how to understand this. Many Paiskim are of the opinion that the Gemara is teaching us that strictly Gidin can be used to sew together a tear, because only Gidin are the acceptable material for fixing any tear in a safe, any sewing in a Sefer Torah. Others say that that's not the way to understand the Gemara. What the Gemara means to say is that Gidin could be used, Gadin, which is regular thread and is not strong enough, may not be used. But to use, for example, silk thread being much stronger, would be acceptable. Continues the Gemara. By Rabbi Yehuda bar Abba, they daf ladaf. If the tear is not in the, on, is not into the Sefer Torah, but it's between the Amudim, what would be the halacha? And here too, the Paiskim point out that even though the Gemara is having a question, what is the halacha if the tear goes being daf ladaf? That's only if we don't have a situation where we have three Amudim, three columns left. Because the halacha, as we discussed in the previous year, is that if you have three columns, that's an acceptable urea. So if you'll have three columns and then a tear, and then you'll have three columns on the other side of the tear, certainly it's no worse than two separate ureas that can be sewn together with Gidin, and there would be no question. Furthermore, ben shita l'shita, what is the halacha if the tear is not a vertical tear, but it's a horizontal tear between the lines? What is the halacha? And the Gemara remains with a tekel. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Zeira, Amar Rav Chananel, Amar Rav, mezuzah shekos v'shtayim shtayim. If the mezuzah was written two words per line, kshera. Ibayluhu, so they asked him, shtayim v'shalosh v'achas mahu. If the mezuzah was written two letters on the top line, two words on the top line, three words on the next line, v'achas mahu, and then one word on the next line, mahu, what will be the halacha? Amar Nachman Yitzchak, koshkein shasak shira. That is the way the Shira is written in the Sefer Torah, and if it's acceptable in the Sefer Torah, it's acceptable here. Ask the Gemara, Meisvei, it says in the Braisa, also Kishira. If we write part of the Sefer Torah like a Shira, the part that's not the Shira, we write like the Shira, or vice versa, Shira Kamaisa. We write the part of the Torah that's the Shira, not like the Shira, it's possible. Answers the Gemara, Kitanya Hiba Sefer Torah. In a Sefer Torah, in the way the Mefarshim explain it, it's very understandable. By a Sefer Torah, the halach is that there's certain places in the Torah, the Shira, in Parshas B'Shalach, and Parshas Hazinu, that have to be written specifically like a Shira. And the rest of the Torah should not be written that way. So somebody deviates, he disqualified the Sefer Torah. However, by a mezuzah, There is no halacha that this part should be written like the Shira. This part should not be written like the Shira, and therefore everything written like the Shira will be kosher. Et menami amar rav b'bachana amar rav yochanan. V'amalei amar rav acha bar b'bachana amar rav yochanan. Mezuzah she'asa shtayim v'sholosh v'achas. A mezuzah was written two words on the top line, three on the next line, one on the next line, it's kosher. However, v'lad shlo yisenek kekub, it should not be made like a tent. That means three words on the bottom line, two words on the neck, on the line above it, and one line above it, or vice versa, vachle senek zonah, the opposite, 3-2-1. Armav chazda, al arf b'shita achrayim. We know that the parshis of the mezuzah are the shema v'haf the parsha and v'hayim shemaya. And we know that the parsha v'hayim shemaya that we say three times a day ends with the words, losas lehem kimaya shemayim al arf. Says Rav Chizda, there is no question that the last line of the mezuzah only has on it two words. What are the two words? Al ha'aretz b'shit achrona. Only the words al ha'aretz appear on the last line. The question is, however, how do those words appear on the last line? Ikadam b'soiv shita, that the last line, we should leave empty space on the last line. Just leave enough room at the end of that line to write the two words ala oretz. Ikadami, another version is that should be written betchila shita, that start the last line with the word al, then write the word oretz, and leave the rest of the line blank. And the Gemara says both of these versions have basis in the Pesukim. Mandam b'saif shita, according to Mandam that has the words ala oretz at the end of the line, has the words ala hashamayim on top of the words ala oretz. Like the Prophet says, k'gvoya shamayim ala oretz. Shamayim, the word shamayim, should be on top of the oretz. Mandam b'tchila shita has it k'hechi the machlik shamayim oretz. Just like the earth and the sky are very distant from each other, here too we try to make the most distance passable between the words Shemayim and Aretz. And I saw a beautiful pshat in these two approaches. The Marshal says that the mezuzah accomplishes, having mezuzah in our home accomplishes two things. One is, it causes us that we should have a shmir, that we should protect it. We should have a riches yomim. And the other is it protects us from doing an aveira. And that's what these two versions represent. The version that says, the Pasuk says, Ki gvoya shmayim al oretz, govar chazdoi al yireyav. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows us great chesed, he protects us, he gives us ariches yomim. As the Pasuk says, Ki toiv chazdecha michayim, chesed refers to long life. And therefore, we want to have hashmayim right next to haoretz, to represent that min hashmayim, if we put on the mezuzah, Hashem and Shemayim will give us more days al ha'aretz in this world. The other mandama, the other opinion, is saying he's reflecting on the other aspect of the mezuzah. What is the other aspect of the mezuzah? That it protects us from aveira. And therefore, we want to separate the Shemayim from the aretz. We're going to not live aretz type of life, a life of gashmias. We're going to live a life of Shemayim, a life of ruchnias, protected from doing aveiros.